Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Hello, Knife Junkies, and welcome to episode number 123 of the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Jim Person.
And I'm Bob DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
The Knife Junkie Podcast is the place for knife newbies like me and knife junkies like you to learn everything about knives and knife collecting. And it's our midweek supplemental show where we dive deep into the weeds, if you will, and talk knives. First off, we're going to kind of cover several different subjects. Of course, this past Sunday was Father's Day, so we have to learn what maybe Bob got or Bob gave for Father's Day to his dad. We'll talk about that. Also, Bob not only does videos and audio, but he can write as well. So we're going to talk about a Bob DeMarco article. Also coming up in Knife Life News, we want to talk about the new Giant Mouse Ace Grand. Is that what it's called?
Okay. That's right. It's the Ace Grand.
You had me at Giant Mouse. I was thinking, ooh, what? Okay. Yeah. Steel Wheel, back in the news. We're going to talk about that as well as ZT, their new 0707, as well as Tops. We're also going to kind of touch on a little something with Tops in the Knife Life News. And, of course, in Bob's State of the Collection, we're going to talk about some borrowed knives this week that maybe we'll see reviews on and commentary about. So, episode number 123, a lot of knife stuff to talk about. And, Bob, we are still on a high, man, coming off this past Saturday's, which was June 20th, Knife Town Hall, where you had two special guest interviews on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's right. We had Andrew Demko and we had Greg Lightfoot. And it was about a 2.5 hour show. Andrew Demko came on first, and he was on for about 1 hour and 15 minutes talking, getting in the weeds and showing off the Shark Lock and really showing how it works. And what I really loved was he showed off a bunch of prototypes, a bunch of failed designs, if you will, or designs that he created. Yes, exactly. On the way to the current Shark Lock, which is his new and patented lock, which is appearing on the AD20, his new custom model. So it was really beautiful.
Yeah, what I loved, and you touched on it, was he was showing all those knives, as you said, the learning opportunities are the ones that were on the way. Just really, you know, right up on the camera, you could see the detail and everything. That's what makes these like Thursday Night Knives and these live knife town halls so special. Not only is it the audio and the conversation, but the video, just kind of pulling it all together.
Yeah, and for someone like that, Andrew Demko, he's a legend in this industry because of his innovation, four locks. He's innovated four locks, the Ram Safe, the legendary Triad, the Scorpion lock that you see on the AD15, and now the Shark Lock. And all patented, which to me is also pretty cool. It's not just, great to have him on and great to really see inside the mind of an innovator like that. And then to offer the opportunity for people to speak up. My brother commented, my brother's a big fan of Andrew Demko, and he got a chance to let him know that. And then a lot of really great questions from knife junkies who wanted to know specifics and particulars.
Right. They were asking so many questions, you couldn't get your questions in.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, I want to ask my question.
I have had my opportunities on two different podcasts. And one of the cool things that you saw through those different prototypes is something he's described in both of those interviews, is this painstaking process. Like, maybe I'll just take a tiny hair off of this piece of titanium. And then he goes through the whole process, and that tiny hair doesn't work, and he needs to take a tiny hair more off. And so, you know, the process continues. So it was cool to see the evidence of that. And then we had Greg Lightfoot, and he was up for an hour or so also. And again, so we have a legend from this this industry, someone who's been around for 30 years making folding tactical knives and bushcraft and all sorts of knives. You know, he's a man of adventure. He makes knives for many different purposes, but he's really known for his folders. And they've gone from the tactical, practical, cool in the early days to just beefy, ornate, gorgeous, handmade works of, you know, usable art. And the same thing, we got commentary from a lot of our usual suspects, our great friends of the show, asking them questions about design choices, asking them questions about process and historical materials. Questions and materials. Yeah, it was really, these are questions I did not think to ask. And that's why these kind of town hall formats or the Thursday Night Knives format is so excellent, because it's a collaborative process. And we get to find out the most information that way.
And if you ever see the town hall, you know, advertisements, things that we put out, please do make your best effort to join us live, because you'll get the chance to interact with the makers, the manufacturers, the reviewers, whoever the guest or guests are on either Thursday Night Knives or the special knife town halls. So a couple of things I want to mention is if you weren't able to join us for the Knife Town Hall Live, you can catch it on replay on the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. That's theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. But if you'll make sure that you are subscribed to the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel, and be sure to click that little bell, that way you'll get notified anytime the Knife Junkie goes live, so you don't miss these opportunities to interact with the makers and the manufacturers, those type of things, because you don't want to miss this opportunity for that live interaction. Yeah, you can watch it on replay, but I think the real value here is that interaction, that you're getting to ask the questions in chat, but also actually come on the show face-to-face. You know, see your knife maker friend, your hero, someone that you want to ask a question to, or maybe even show off one of his knives that you own. So, you know, that's a great opportunity.
Yeah. And this is not the place to be shy. A, we know you're into it. And C, we know you have an iPhone or the like. So, it's got a camera. Pop on, say hi, show us, ask us, ask the question, and then you're gone. You don't have to stay on for some big commitment.
Yeah, and it, like Bob said, you don't have to have expensive technology and equipment to join. Even if all you have is a smartphone, it's got a camera, and it's got a great camera. So all you can do is just join from that iPhone and pop in, as Bob says, ask your question, and pop back out and listen to the rest of it. Hey, Bob, belated happy Father's Day to you. That was past Sunday. You've got a couple of girls, so your dad. I don't know if you have anything that they got for you for Father's Day, or maybe you want to talk about maybe something you gave your dad for Father's Day.
I will indeed, but also I have to extend a happy Father's Day to you. You are also a father of two.
Yep.
And man, what a great day it is just to be lavished. My kids carried me around in a palanquin all day, and they were fanning me with palm fronds and singing to me. It was wonderful. They did not, however, get me a knife, but that's fine. That's fine. You know, that's low hanging fruit.
I find it hard to believe that they actually carried you around.
Well, okay. All right. A team.
They are little girls.
Yes, that is true. Okay. They were not, none of that happened.
Right.
But it was a lovely day nonetheless.
But they did treat you right.
They did indeed. And I treated my dad right. I got him, I just think this was perfect for him. So my dad is the first one who got me enthusiastic about samurai swords and Japanese blades. I remember back in the 80s, kind of pilfering his bookshelf and coming across he had a book from Sotheby's, the auction house mm-hmm. in New York, and it was full of Japanese blades from various various time periods, various shogunates, I guess. And so these were legit samurai swords that were tens and tens of thousands of dollars. Wow. And he just kind of thought it would be cool to have. I don't think he was seriously imagining, you know, purchasing these. But I remember him showing these off to me. And he's always had a thing for Japanese blades. And recently, I've been getting him slip joints over the past few years. And he loves that aesthetic, too. So what did I get?
A slip joint samurai.
No, close. I got the new Benchmade Tengu for my father, which is the traditional looking tanto flipper, and it is just a beautiful looking thing. It's a classy, gentlemanly knife. It doesn't have a clip. It comes in a little leather pouch and everything. But right up my dad's alley, and I'm thinking he's digging it.
I'm sure we'll hear more when we get your dad back on the podcast for some of his knife stories. We've done that, I think, once in the past, and some folks commented that they really liked it. So get him back on and tell an inside story about going on a trip and looking for a knife for you, or some other kind of inside scoop there. You mentioned knives and the Tengu, of course, one of the featured knives that we have on our knives for sale page. That's at thenifejunkie.com/knives, thenifejunkie.com/knives. We try to keep that page up to date with a lot of the newest things and some of the things on sale from some of the manufacturers that we have relationships with. So thenifejunkie.com/knives. Kind of teased it at the beginning. Bob not only does audio and video, but he writes as well. And congratulations, Bob. You had an article that is featured in Knives Illustrated.
Yes, my first article in Knives Illustrated. Very proud of it. It's about the Cold Steel XL folders. And the premise is basically they might look big and ridiculous, and they might look like big murdery weapons, but they also happen to be actually very, very practical and excellent knives for real world use. Outside of the knife fight, if you will. I think I make a good argument and have some pictures up there. And it was run through the editing hands of Brian Ball. You know, Miss Lacey Dicey on YouTube mm-hmm. is the editor of Knives Illustrated. And very grateful he brought me on to do that article, and he's I'm writing another one currently for the next issue. So, it's really cool to go to Knives Illustrated and see my photograph, not the photograph of me, but that I took of right. my Cold Steel XL folders right on the front. And then I saw my name in lights, Bob DeMarco. Well, it wasn't in lights, but it was in print right. on my screen. So
that's right. It was right there.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That was kind of cool. And what, briefly looking at the article, what I liked was the picture of your case, your tool case, but it was just a drawer full of all these knives right there together. To me, that was, I like that picture the best.
It's like a family portrait. It's heartwarming.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's heartwarming. I have to take a moment. I lost my breath there. But yeah, visit our friends at Knives Illustrated, if you will. If you're not yet subscribed, that's a great publication to make sure that you are subscribed to. So Knives Illustrated.
And not for nothing, Jim, it'll be interesting to see the editorial shift it makes under Slicey's with Slicey at the helm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting thought there. Yeah. If you get that Knives Illustrated and you read that article, if you have any thoughts you want to share with Bob, shoot him an email at bob@thenifejunkie.com, or better yet, call the listener line at 724-466-4487, 724-466-4487, and give him some thoughts. Did you agree with everything he said, or have a differing point of view, or maybe just add some commentary to the article? We would definitely love to hear from you. All right, Bob, before we go to our Knife Life News segment, where we kind of dive into some of the product drops and knives, knife news in the news this week, if I can speak, we want to say thank you. Past Thursday night on Thursday Night Knives, we almost had a bidding war, if you will, folks, supporting the YouTube channel, supporting you with Super Chats. If you're not familiar with Super Chats, that's the way you can give money through the YouTube platform in the chat format. You give a certain amount of money, and just had great support from the community, and want to say thank you.
Yeah, I was so humbled and flattered and excited. When we're doing Thursday Night Knives, my mood is elevated. Your mood is elevated anyway. I'm so happy to just be doing
bloviating about knives.
Exactly. Right. Just bloviating about knives and people listening and actually conversing with me about it. I'm not just out in the dark babbling knives like usual. I was just so
touched. Humbled.
Yeah, touched. Lavender Pants 86, Slicey Dicey, Alex's Knife Box, OCD for EDC, James Moore, Hilltop Knives and Gear, they all gave in Super Chat, and a couple of them multiple times, Lavender Pants, Alex, and OCD for EDC.
Yeah.
Like I said, they were starting to one-up one another, and I'm right. Like, oh, shucks, guys, not over me, but, if you must. And, very excited, very happy about that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I... touched, humbled, honored. I think all of those words you can't say enough. It definitely was that. I know we put a lot of time and effort into the podcast, Thursday Night Knives, the town halls, a lot of personal expenses that we shell out of the pocket for web hosting and the tools we use to put on everything. So it's nice to see. I think for me that just knowing that people see value and yeah, appreciate it.
That they would exchange dollars for what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely. Well, speaking along that, and I don't want to be slimy or, you know, self-promote-y or whatever, kind of coming off as a huckster or whatever. But I while we're talking about this, I do want to mention you just created a Patreon.
Oh, so, come on. That's not being sleazy.
Okay.
Yes. I just created a Patreon page, and you can support the podcast, support Thursday Night Knives or the channel, however you prefer to look at it. But, you know, we bring you weekly content, and I figured we're a proven entity at this point. We've put out 123 podcasts, and we've put out multiple. I don't even know how long we've been doing Thursday Night Knives, and I put up a lot of videos. And I'm finally at the point where I'm like, yeah, I think we can, in good conscience and fairly, ask if anyone feels like supporting. Here's an opportunity. Here's an avenue. Here's a place. So if you go to Patreon, go to the Knife Junkie, there are three different tiers of support. You can give $3 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month. And each one of those has different benefits to them. So if you think what we're doing here is useful, if there's any utility in this or any entertainment or joy that you get from this, and you feel like it's worth paying a little bit every month, or if you can, that would be awesome. If not, just keep listening. That's
all. Yeah, free of charge, no requirement to pay, but if you want to show some love, hey, we'll be glad to accept it.
That's how you can do it.
Yeah, yeah. TheKnifeJunkie.com/Patreon, TheKnifeJunkie.com/Patreon, that is the address that you can find the Knife Junkie's Patreon account at. And as Bob said, there are $3, $5, and $10 levels of support. At the $10 level, you're going to be entered into a monthly knife giveaway, so a drawing for a chance to win a knife that comes at the $10 a month level. So, again, go to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon if you want to help support the show.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
So, Jim, earlier you were a little vexed by the name Giant Mouse. Because when we think of mouse, we think of a little creature.
Mm-hmm.
But Giant Mouse is a company that's been around for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years at this point. And it's a joint venture between famed Danish knife makers/designers, Jens Anzo and Jesper Voxnes. We know them as Vox and Anzo. And together, well, let's just say apart, they're designing and knife making phenoms. And together, they are Giant Mouse, and their aesthetics blend together beautifully. And I've never had a Giant Mouse knife. I have sort of appreciated them from afar, but they're not wheelhouse knives for me. I generally like a bigger knife, but they have this new Ace Grand coming out. And the Ace moniker on a Giant Mouse knife, I believe, is sort of regular production knife, because they also do limited runs of various knives. So this Ace Grand looks to me like the Vox F3. I have the Boker version of that. It's a beautiful clip point blade. And in this case, in the case of the Ace Grand, it's their largest knife, I believe. And it has a 3.4 inch blade. It's got that sort of Spyderco-esque deep carry wire loop over clip. It's got a gorgeous green micarta handle with liner lock, and just a very, very attractive clip point blade. Now, this is something that they've created and are sort of marketing towards outdoors use. You know, something that's supposed to be used outdoors and kind of hard used. A lot of the pictures you see of this, you'll see leather gloved hands, you know, carving a steak with it, or and I don't mean a meat steak. I mean, you know, a tent steak. And just a lot of sort of outdoorsy images that come with it. So that's, I think, what they're intending this to be. So it's L-Max. It's got a high saber grind. And it's got quite a nice looking kind of stabby tip. It's looks a little bit nicer to me than the, I shouldn't say nicer, a little bit more acute than the F3. So it looks like a beautiful knife. I see it is sold out at this point. I think it's something that people have gotten on pre-order. And you know, so I think they're the first batch is all out, but
right.
they'll be back.
All of those Mises or Mises are sold.
Exactly. You know what? On second thought, you shouldn't go by that. You should dig around. Mm. I have not done extensive searching for it. Just some of the usual places.
Right. Okay. So Giant Mouse, learned something here every day on the Knife Junkie podcast. All right. Moving on. Is it Real Steel or Steel Will?
Oh, Steel geez. Will. Actually, which is it? It is Steel Will. Okay. Okay. Sorry. To those who take exception to that, I always mix them up.
Yeah,
I'm not calling
too.
Them the same company, but right. I always mix them up.
Right.
But they excite me about the same. And I'll say that the Steel Will Sedge, which is a new one that they came out with, to me, it's their version of the Native Chief. It looks just like a Native Chief. It comes in a 3.5 and 4 inch blade, which I like. I love that they're offering a full 4 inch blade. I think everyone should, but that's just me. But I gotta say, Jim, man, this knife, it just looks just like the Native Chief to me. And it's in that same D2 G10 format that is great. And I mean, they really, Steel Will is really makes a good knife. I'm not saying this is a bad knife. I'm just saying it's just kind of another design in that format that's not quite doing it for me. To me, they're hit and miss. Like the last one, the last Steel Will that got a lot of press, the Scylla, I thought was beautiful and really cool and innovative. This one is just, you know, looks, if you like the design, no doubt it's going to be a very right. good and usable knife.
Well, interesting question. You say it looks just like the Chief?
The Spyderco Native Chief.
Native Chief. Yeah. You know, I've been listening and, you know, working with you on this podcast for quite a while. And the question that comes in my mind every once in a while is, how many knife designs can you really have?
I know.
So, you know, is it is it not surprising that one knife looks like another knife, even though they're designed or manufactured by different companies?
A fair point you raise, and I neglected to mention what the real inspiration for the design of this knife is.
Hmm.
It is not the Native Chief. I think it's incidental. Sedge is a type of grass. And so this blade, a very leaf-shaped blade, just like all Spydercos and the Native Chief, a very leaf-shaped blade, is actually inspired by a blade of grass. So, I think maybe you're right. Maybe that's an unfair assessment. We've been making knives for 40,000 years or something. I don't know. I'm no historian, but we've been making them for a damn long time. And at some point, things will start to look similar. I mean, we mentioned this in a podcast recently about how it might not be derivative, mm-hmm. I was kind of impugning this knife to be. It might just be in the same, on right. the same shelf, in the same category, right. long leaf-shaped blade.
One other question before we carry on with the next story in Knife Life News. Going to go down a rabbit hole here. You mentioned blade length, mm-hmm. And we've talked about blade length all the time, and you're certain blade length kind of guy that's yep. In your collection. A real knife newbie question here. Is it just as simple of measuring the blade, you know, from the visible part of the blade that you can see that determines how long it is?
I think most people will go from the tip of the blade to the most forward part of the handle.
Okay, so the visible part?
Yes, okay, exactly.
Where it comes to the handle.
Exactly. But the furthest out. So sometimes you'll get on a really, what I consider a really good design, you'll have a longer cutting edge than blade length because of how the handle curves forward and how the blade
so
runs
you have more
back
blade,
behind it.
Blade coming up under the handle.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so would you measure the blade length then from what the visible part of the blade is under that handle?
Well, now quite often, yes, you'll see a blade length and then a cutting edge length in specs.
Okay. Okay.
Because they, especially with choils, you know, you could have a 4 inch blade like my Hinderer XM24s, but they both have finger choils, which reduces the cutting edge to 3.5 inches.
Hmm.
Or okay. something like that.
Okay. All right.
Just on a blade length thing, it's interesting. I was thinking about it. 4 inches is what is always my ideal folding blade length. And why? Because my first folding tactical knives were the early cold steel knives, and they were all 4 inch. And I think it's sort of like, you grew up in the 80s, like I was a teenager in the 80s, and maybe some of my style is still stuck there, you know, or maybe I'm still wearing jeans like I did in my 30s, but I'm in almost 50, you know.
Well, so let's hope not.
You know how you kind of get locked into a style. I think maybe my 4-inch thing is just that.
Well, I guess the moral of the story there is be careful what knives you buy for your kid as he or she is growing up, because that might be the blade shape or style that they want to collect as they grow older. So don't buy them something goofy.
I agree. I cannot disagree. Let me put it that way.
But still buy them something and get them started.
Exactly.
All right. ZT, a new 0707.
Yes, yes.
Something about the getting rid of the lock bar lockup?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so lock bar lockup, that's a term I'm giving it, but I think people probably know what I'm talking about. So this new knife, if you look at it, it's beautiful. It's kind of, it's long and slender. It's sort of in the class, I would put it in the ZT class with the long Sinkovich knives, the 0450s and the 0460 series. It's sort of like that, long and sort of thin. It also has a blade shape much like all of the new recent ZTs and Kershaws with the pronounced swedge and the sort of modern looking almost harpoon nature of it. So this thing is long and slender. And the problem I have, and a lot of people have, especially if their hands are bigger than mine, you know, is when you have one of these slender knives, but they're flippers and they're frame locks, it's difficult to deploy them without adding pressure with your stabilizing fingers, that is your middle finger, your ring finger, and your pinky, against that lock bar, making it almost impossible to open because the detent is already tight and crisp so that when you flip the bar, the knife rockets out, right? You have a slender knife, you have very little room to keep your hands off of that lock, so they become very hard to open. The 0707 adds this new mechanism. It's a second detent. They call it the TDS, the tuned detent system. And it is supposed to eliminate that quirk of thin frame lock flippers. And I'm not sure how it does it, but it reduces the pressure on the main detent. I guess it takes some of the pressure off of the main detent and allows you to still kind of be ham-fisted with it, if you will, and hold that lock bar down, but still be able to flip the thing open. Now, I've seen a few videos so far, but I haven't heard much in the way of opinion on that on that TDS. But it's a very lightweight knife. It's 2.3 ounces. I mean, that's really light, and it's a 3.5-inch blade, 20 CV as is their usual these days. So interesting innovation. We'll see how it works.
Well, it'll be interesting for either someone from ZT or some of our listeners and viewers on Thursday Night Knives that maybe have gotten one. Mm-hmm. Come on Thursday Night Knives and show it off and tell us what you like about it and kind of give us a preview there in video form on Thursday Night Knives.
Yeah, so, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so if you're interested, shoot Bob an email at bob@thenifejunkie.com or call the listener line at 724-466-4487. Or what the heck, just show up on a Thursday Night Knives and join the conversation.
Exactly. And let me know why I shouldn't buy this 0707, because, man, it does look tempting, Jim.
Well, isn't that kind of your standard line for any knife, why I shouldn't buy it as opposed to why I should buy it?
Yeah, I think that's what it should be, because let's just face it, why shouldn't I buy it?
That's right. Coming off Father's Day this past weekend, Father's Week, as we like to say, that's what I try to get away with, you know, with my kids. It's like, you know, well, it's a week before Father's Day. Don't make me do that. You know, it's 3 days after Father's Day. Where's my, you know, my cake or whatever? But Topps has their highly anticipated cigar cutter, which is kind of apropos for this time of year, if you will, thinking of dads and cigars. And
well, I guess this it's called the 208 Clipper, and this little sucker has been really highly anticipated, but it first came out in prototype, I think it was at SHOT Show, January 2019, so it's been almost two years, and people have been anticipating it. What this thing looks like, it looks like a tiny friction folder version of their very first knife, the Eagle. The Eagle. It has that very aggressive geometric handle and the super aggressive American Tanto blade. But what is this? This is a little 2.5-inch friction folder. And a friction folder stays open, yes, by friction. They usually have an extended tang. The blade has an extended tang, and you sort of slowly sweep it open like you would a front flipper, except you do it slowly. And then that extended tang locks and nestles tightly between the two handle slabs. And that's how it stays open. That and the pressure you put downward with your thumb on that tang. That's what keeps a friction folder open. Why is this thing a friction folder? Well, you don't want to lock on it because it's a cigar cutter. And you want it to be free in the path. So this little Tanto blade, 2.5 inch, is chisel ground. So that means one side has the bevel. So you look at it and it looks like a Tanto. You flip it over and the blade is completely flat, which, you know, just from listening, I love that. Emerson likes to do that. Other companies like to do that. But the reason this is flat and chisel ground is so that flat side of the blade marries up nicely to the flat side of the inside of the handle. Now, the handle has a hole on it just big enough to put a cigar tip through. And so you have a nice cleaning, shearing kind of scissor-like action with the chisel blade against the flat handle scale. So this little thing looks really super cool. It's like a tiny little tactical cigar cutter, you know. And then when it looks so mean and aggressive. And when it's closed, the protruding tang has a bottle opener, cap lifter on it. So, man, how can you go wrong?
Yeah, I'm looking at it here on the Tops and Hives website, and the little geometric patterns on the handle, and as you said, the bottle cap opener there on the end. And according to their website, at least as our time of our recording, it was still available. $184 on the Tops Knives website is what the going rate is there.
Yeah, MSRP.
Might be able to find it cheaper elsewhere, but yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah.
A cool little piece. And so think about that for Father's Day next year.
Yeah. Go ahead and get it now before they run out.
That's right.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
All right, back on the Knife Junkie podcast, episode number 123, our midweek supplemental episode of the podcast. Bob gets a chance to go a little deeper into his state of the collection, what he's got coming, those type of things. But right now, he's not really talking about any knives in his possession, but yet they are in his, air quote, possession. They're not his, they're borrowed.
Yes, they're not in my collection, but they are in my possession.
Yes. There you go. I like that better, yeah.
Yeah, so I got my second pass-around knife, and the first pass-around knife I got was really cool. It was the little Finch Runtley, that little Warncliffe flipper. And I had it for a week and a half, and I hadn't made my video of it yet, and I was growing kind of attached to the thing, and I was like, this is cool, man. I got to send it off. Don't get too attached. And then I get an email saying, hey, you were the last person in the pass around group to get this. And we did a drawing and you won the knife. Oh, and I was so excited. I was like, here, I got this little knife. I got attached and I won it. It's mine. Well, the second one came and I'm growing attached. And I'm realizing as I'm growing to the end of my stay with this knife or vice versa, that the chances are very slim that I'm going to win again. And damn it, I've grown attached to this knife. It's beautiful. This is the Civivi Rustic Gent. Oh my gosh, man. It's a little, I mean, this, I see this as up your alley, Jim, as you are a gent. It's about a 3-inch bladed lock back clip point in the tradition, say, of just in the tradition of the Buck 112 Ranger, kind of the same overall size.
Okay.
But much smaller in all dimensions, including what I mean by that is it's way less bulky. It's way lighter.
Way lighter. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But so this knife is a bolstered, lock back clip point with carbon fiber at the bolster and beautiful carbon fiber. You know, I'm not a huge fan, but I love this. And, the rest of the handle is this beautiful burlap micarta. And then the blade itself, which is super thin and slicey, like the other Civivi I actually own, is in Damasteel. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful knife, man. I love this thing. And then it comes in a leather slip joint with a pocket clip. So it doesn't have to rattle around at the base of your pocket and go sideways and be uncomfortable. It can sit at the top of your pocket in the same orientation that you carry all your other knives, just in a little pouch. Mm-hmm. So it is classy as can be, and it's made by Civivi, which is the, well, we're calling it the budget brand of Wii, but man, they, I've heard someone recently say, and now I can't remember who, but it's more like Wii is the upscale brand of Civivi, because Civivi is just knocking it out of the park, and this thing is great. So, yeah, long and short of it is, I got another pass around knife, and I've grown attached, but this one I know I'm going to have to send back out. Away,
yeah. You better get that video done quick.
I know. Otherwise, it might, I can't send it until I've done this interview.
Well, you can look for that video whenever it is available on the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Again, the Civivi Rustic Gent, and looks like a suggested retail price around the $75 mark. So not terribly expensive for such a great looking little knife as well.
Yep.
Your impressions, Bob, talking about borrowed knives or knives not in your collection, but in your possession. Mm-hmm. I like that. A couple of knives that YouTube friend Dirk Warning sent you to take a look at. Yep. High-end custom dyerware and a rare Medford. So which one do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's tackle Dirk Warning first.
Oh, okay.
Dirk has a relatively new channel, but on YouTube.
Crushing it, though.
But he is crushing it. He's on the upward ascent. We had him on Thursday Night Knives a few weeks back, and he's just been kind of a friend of the show, introduced to us through Alex, Alex Dassault of Alex's Knife Box. They're buddies. They're both collectors of very high-end knives, and I was drooling over Dirk's dyerware solo in one of his videos. He did a video of a borrowed dyerware and compared it to his. If you're not familiar with dyerware, it's a custom knife company, and I know very little about them, except I think they're beautiful, and I've reached out to them. I'd love to have them on the podcast and find out more about them, but they create these incredible overbuilt tactical knives. My daughter took a look at this, and she said the first thing she said, and it came right out of her mouth, was it looks like an orca. And yeah, this the solo that I'm
the shark
no the killer whale.
Oh, the whale. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really, really kind of blown away by two things. First of all, that Dirk Warning doesn't know me from a hill of beans, except except on the podcast and on the website, sent me this knife and another, and they are very, very expensive and beautiful custom pieces, and that is impressive. And then I am also just blown away by the workmanship of this dyerware. It is people just have to look it up. Dyerware Solo. I think this is a 5. It's with a recurve tanto blade. It locks in the hand like a knuckle duster, but it's beautiful and refined. And, God, it's making me feel like, I need to start investigating this realm of the knife world. But this is how I can investigate it right now, with good friends like Dirk, who can send me something. So I'm going to offer to send him something of my collection that he can do reviews on.
Right.
The other knife he sent me was this Medford Viper, which is, oh my God. It is a giant raven-like knife that my first reaction to this was to swing it around. It's got a blade that is sort of worn cliffy with a light belly that angles forward in your hand, so it's very aggressive already. It's already cutting something before your hand gets there. And it's got this beautifully curved handle that fits nicely in hand. It's somewhat neutral. And to look at it, I got to be honest, I've said this before about Medfords. I'd look at them and be like, God, that's an awkward design or straight up ugly. And then I get them in hand, I can't believe what I'm holding. So this thing, I'm going to make a review of it and put it up, show it off on the channel. But something the really unique thing about this knife, this Medford, is that it's a folder and the blade is a quarter inch thick. Quarter inch thick, like it's a survival knife, you know?
It's a slab of meat.
Oh my good gravy. And then, And then the whole thing is like 0.9 inches thick. It's almost an inch thick. But I'll be damned if it doesn't feel incredible in hand. It's also 12 ounces, I think.
Just kind of works for you.
Yeah, it works for me. So, Dirk, thank you. And if you weren't so cool,
you'll be getting your knives back sometime.
Yeah. Well, he said, take your time. And I can't take my time. That's the thing. This week, I'm going to get them back out to you, because if I take my time with this, I just might get too comfortable.
Well, those videos, again, forthcoming on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Be sure to subscribe and click the bell notification so you don't miss any of his new knife review videos, Thursday Night Knives, any of the kind of good stuff that Bob has on the Knife Junkies YouTube channel.
Well, Jim, before we wrap and close out this supplemental, I have one more little bit of news, and it's not much news at all, but I'm sending out two Emersons. I wanted to tell you about this. Two Emersons for, you know, aftermarket tricking. The first one, I'm sending my Saks to Jared Neve of Neve's Knives, great channel on YouTube with his wife, Kara. And he's also been a guest on the show on Thursday Night Knives. He is a hand sharpener and does a beautiful job. He learned a lot from Mike Emler. People might know Mike Emler. And he, a forthcoming guest on the show, by the way. So I'm sending him my Saks to A, rehab the tip, because as you know, if it's a Warncliffe, I drop it on the tip. He's going to rehab the tip and make that chisel edge even more wicked sharp. I'm looking forward to getting that, and that will all be done by hand on stones, which I'm excited for. And then I'm sending out my my beloved old CQC-13 Emerson. That's the Bowie, the first Bowie I think he made, to Knives and Such on Instagram. And he's a guy who makes beautiful micarta handles and other types of handles for Emersons and other knives. But the Emerson work he's done, and I know he does ZT, really drew me in. And it's not everyone who can make handle scales and make them on both sides and then make them fit right. So I'm very much looking forward to it. It's going to be, here, a little spoiler, natural canvas micarta. Love it.
Really? Spoiler? I think everybody knows that about you by now. Well,
there we go.
Okay. Bobby mentioned Mike Embler. You kind of gave it away. He's coming up actually this coming Sunday, episode number 124. Had a chance to catch up with Mike. So podcast next Sunday with him.
Yeah, definitely. Sharpening guru and also designer of the Wee Knives Stonefish and the new up-and-coming Artisan Sea Snake. And that's a Warncliffe fixed blade EDC in a new steel, proprietary steel.
So. New steel. All right. Well, that's about going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. Do want to remind you to join us tomorrow night. If you're listening to this podcast when it first comes out on Wednesday, join us tomorrow, Thursday night, for Thursday Night Knives. We've kind of mentioned it before this episode, during this episode, and before this episode as well. But Thursday Night Knives is the live video show every Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern time, where Bob has a chance to have special guests on and talk, interview, look at knives. Also, you have the opportunity to jump in and converse with Bob as well as the special guests. So if you're listening to this podcast, Thursday Night Knives is tomorrow. If you're listening any other day of the week, well, the next one's coming up next Thursday. It's every week, Thursday Night Knives at 10 p.m. Eastern. So we look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks to everyone who shows up every week. We really appreciate it. And thanks to new people who show up every week. And of course, the Super Chatters. You guys rock.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if you're finding value in Thursday Night Knives or this podcast, do us a favor. It won't cost you a penny. Share it with a friend. Send them an email, shoot them an Instagram message, a direct message, share it in a Facebook group, whatever. Let them know about the Knife Junkie podcast, Thursday Night Knives, and we would certainly appreciate that assistance. So, for Mr. Knife Junkie himself, Bob DeMarco, I'm Jim, the Knife Newbie person over here, saying thanks for joining us on the Knife Junkie podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487. And you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.